WNYC needs your feedback. If you connect to WNYC online or through our mobile app, if you listen to our podcasts or follow us on Facebook or Twitter, please take our online audience survey. Sign up today at WNYC.org/myinput.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. And when President Obama was reelected, remember when he said this in his election night victory speech?
Whether you voted for the very first time or waited in line for a very long time. By the way, we have to fix that.
Sounded like an offhand, maybe spontaneous remark, right? But then in his inaugural address, the president said this, scripted.
Our journey is not complete until no citizen is forced to wait for hours to exercise the right to vote.
And on Tuesday night, in his State of the Union address, President Obama put policy meat on the bones of that idea.
So tonight I'm announcing a nonpartisan commission to improve the voting experience in America. And it definitely needs improvement. I'm asking two longtime experts in the field who, by the way, recently served as the top attorneys for my campaign and for Governor Romney's campaign to lead it. We can fix this. And we will. The American people demand it, and so does our democracy.
So not too much policy meat yet, just a commission to look into it. But how big a problem is there with simply being able to vote in America if you are registered? And can a bipartisan commission solve a problem born of partisan competition? The Brennan Center for Justice at NYU is always working on this. And with me now is Wendy Weiser, Director of the Democracy Program at the Brennan Center. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
How big is this problem?
You know, unfortunately, the problem is far bigger than you would expect. Most Americans do vote without incident on Election Day, but millions every single Election Day have to wait in line for hours, like we saw in states across the country in 2012. And the long lines are just the tip of the iceberg. They're the most visible manifestation of the problems that are facing voters.
What else is on that iceberg?
Well, many Americans, and again, millions each election cycle, wait in lines only to find that when they show up at the poll worker, their names aren't on the voter rolls. They've been kicked off. They haven't made it on. And they're turned away without being able to cast a ballot that will actually count.
And I mentioned the MIT study before the news, which found that Latinos waited about twice as long as whites on Election Day last fall. It's also known that this is worse in the South than in the North, and that Florida is said to be the worst state, surprise, surprise. And the New York Times said more than 200,000 Floridians were forced to give up without voting last November. So how much is this about race and party?
All Americans across the country had to wait in line from both political parties. It is true, though, that African Americans and Latinos tend to have to wait twice as long as white voters. Urban voters have to wait longer than rural voters. And the problem has been worse in the South, but it's not only in the South. Virginia, Ohio, California had extraordinarily long lines, for example, this past election.
At the speech the president brought along on Tuesday night, maybe you saw this, a 102-year-old Florida voter, a Haitian immigrant, U.S. citizen, obviously, who waited 6 hours. And, you know, I can't help but wonder if this is happening in some states and not others to a certain degree, some neighborhoods and not others, because of local policies. Is it something a federal law can even address?
Absolutely. Federal law can clearly modernize our elections so that Americans don't have to wait 6-7 hours to vote. That's an absolute disgrace in a 21st century democracy. We really have a variety of levers that we can push in order to create minimum national standards to prevent this. We can have national standards for early voting. Florida, for example, cut back on their early voting hours and days before the extraordinarily long lines that we saw in 2012. And now there's an effort to reverse that. They recognize that if they had those early voting days, people wouldn't have had to wait as long as they did.
And I presume that the president made his example a Florida voter because Florida has been so aggressive in trying to disenfranchise Democrats with things like inaccurate felon lists and cancellation of early voting on the weekend before Election Day.
Florida has been a national leader in voter disenfranchisement. It is actually not the only state. In the period leading up to the 2012 election, we actually saw a massive push in states across the country to pass laws that would have made it harder for eligible American citizens to vote. Overall, 19 states passed 25 laws and two executive actions that would have cut back on voting, like what we saw in Florida. Fortunately, there was a massive pushback in the courts, in the legislatures, and at the ballot box. And so most of those, the worst ones, were not in place for the 2012 election. And the question is, now there's an opportunity, a real opportunity, to fix those problems and make sure that we don't go through another election with these same problems.
All right, listeners, you are on this bipartisan commission to fix the long voter lines problem and related issues. What are you going to propose? 212-433-WNYC. You are on this commission, at least for the next 10 minutes or so. 212-433-9692. Maybe you waited in line yourself. What's the solution? How would you fix what's going on in Florida? How would you fix what's going on in New York and New Jersey? I know it would be good if we don't have another Sandy a week before Election Day messing everything up. But you are on this commission. Democrats, Republicans, independents, call us up. Tell us what you might propose to fix the long voter lines disenfranchisement problem. 212-433-9692 or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Maybe we'll even be able to forward your ideas onto the actual commission that the president is proposing. And, Wendy, a bipartisan voter protection commission, he called it. Does he really need a commission? Or are the causes and solutions to long lines at the polls already known, and he's almost sort of punting with this?
I don't think he's punting. I think that this is an effort to try to build some bipartisan consensus around the solutions. And the solutions actually are quite known. We really just need to modernize our elections. We need to upgrade our voter registration system. That's a very clear solution that would also address long lines. We need to expand early voting. And we need some minimum polling place management standards to ensure that voters don't wait in line for more than an hour. These are very tried and true solutions that are in place in some places across the country and work very well. That's the kind of minimum standards we need nationally. But we do need both political parties to come around it because Congress needs to act. And if Congress is going to act before the next election, we need some Republicans and some Democrats coming together to boldly fix this problem.
When I searched this topic on Google News this morning, I got headlines like "Modernize voting registration and require early voting periods," New York Times. "Universal vote by mail eliminates lines, fights fraud," Huffington Post. "California's Barbara Boxer drafting anti-long lines legislation," the Desert Sun. But on the Fox News site, the headline was, "Long voter lines may not be as widespread as president thinks." So they're already casting doubt on whether change is needed. Do you think that's an indication of Republican resistance to come?
I think that Republicans are agreeing at this point that we really need to do something to fix our elections. We're seeing some real thawing of the partisan rancor around these issues, or at least some pulling back on the Republican side of some of the more extreme measures that they've taken on the voting end. We saw Governor Rick Scott, who had actually pushed for the cutbacks on early voting, actually turn around and call for expanding early voting.
Did he?
We did see in Virginia bipartisan groups of legislators actually voting down an effort to rig the Electoral College vote. So we are seeing perhaps signs of a coming together. This is an American problem. We need to just upgrade our systems and make them work. This
Although
is
you
embarrassing.
You mentioned Virginia. I also saw an article today from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. The Virginia House killed a bipartisan Virginia Senate bill that would have let seniors over 65 vote absentee without providing a reason. So that may seem like democracy 101 to you and the president, but they're not consensus items.
Not everything's a consensus item, but we are seeing a growing consensus. And on some of these reforms, like the modernizing voter registration, election professionals on a bipartisan basis across the country are supporting that. We are seeing efforts to modernize at the state level being driven by Republican chief election officials. So this is actually just a common sense solution, not a partisan solution.
All right, listeners, we are deputizing you, honorary members of the President's Bipartisan Voter Protection Commission, at least Brian Lehrer Show auxiliary members, as designated by the Brian Lehrer Show. Ready to talk to some commissioners, Wendy?
Yeah, absolutely.
How about Carly in Manhattan? Carly, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, thank you. Some countries make a national holiday for national elections. I think we should do that. That would avoid all the religious holiday observance days and work conflicts.
National holiday, like in other countries.
Yeah, absolutely. These are the kinds of proposals we do need to start thinking about. Early voting is, again, another solution that gets around those problems of people having other obligations and not being able to take off and vote on just one day.
Yeah.
And that could take place on weekends as well.
Right.
When people
aren't
working.
What about that? I mean, maybe that's the biggest thing or a biggest thing. Move Election Day off Tuesday. You know the Why Tuesday movement, which is all about this. Move elections off Tuesday and on to the weekends. And I think Carly was indicating, you know, maybe multiple weekend days so you avoid the religious observances of one religion or another, or that as a nullifying conflict. How about Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, like some countries have?
You know, I actually think Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for two weekends and on the current Tuesday of Election Day is something that is gaining momentum. We see congressional bills pushing for that, and a lot of states across the country have that kind of early voting system right now. So it both doesn't limit your choices to Election Day and offers a range of weekend and other weekday alternatives for voters who can't show up on Election Day.
Anthony in Carmel, you're on WNYC. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, how are you? I just had the idea that, you know, when New Jersey came across and they had to cast votes by fax, why not go one further and actually cast votes via smartphone or online?
And, you know, thank you. It's the two big things that we're getting, the two big strains are what our first two callers have said. Expand the amount of time and use more technology. How about the technology side?
Yeah, absolutely. We should be using technology better in our elections, and that is, in fact, what the modernizing voter registration proposal would do, would use technology to actually add up to 50 million eligible voters to the roll and make our rolls more accurate, make it so that when people move, their registration moves with them. On the voting end, absolutely, technology can and should be used on election day and at the voting time to expand, to improve the voter experience. We're seeing that used already in vote centers in states across the country. And I think that there are studies going on to figure out whether and how voting across the internet would be possible and effective. Currently, there isn't the technology to do it securely, but this is certainly an area where we need to keep studying and coming up with solutions. It's maybe very promising.
How about the thing I mentioned from that Huffington Post headline, universal vote by mail? They better not make the deadline a Saturday, if we're going to use the Postal Service. But seriously, universal vote by mail. What about that?
You know, vote by mail is in place successfully in a number of Western states. It's a method of voting that might not be might not be as useful in every state in the country. People do find it effective in rural areas. Sometimes ballots get lost in the mail. Some voters actually like to have the option of being able to vote at the polling place. So having vote by mail as one option as part of a consumer convenience model of voting is, I think, a direction we want to think about going in.
Wait, here's a vote by mail call. Gary in Riverdale, you're on WNYC. Hi, Gary.
Hi, how are you? My mom is an 80-year-old retiree who lives in South Florida in the city of Pembroke Pines, and she was very baffled watching the State of the Union speech and hearing about the 102-year-old lady who had to wait so long, because my mother has voted for many, many years by mail. The ballot, which I saw this year, is sent out about a month or so before the actual election day, and you have about a month to send it in. And it's very commonly used in Florida, and I know you just talked about, you know, universities. It doesn't have to be universal. It seems to be anyone who desires to do it that way can vote that way.
And right, which is what our guest said, too. Make it an option, as opposed to the only mandatory way to vote. So, Gary, that's really interesting. And who knows what the story of that 102-year-old was who was at the State of the Union address, but he makes an interesting point that was an option that was available to her.
You know, For the 102-year-old, it most likely was an option. Not all states have what is called no-fault absentee voting option, so that no-excuse absentee voting, so that people who anybody who wants to vote by mail can vote by mail.
That's exactly that Virginia story that I mentioned, right, where the Virginia Senate passed a bipartisan bill that would allow anybody 65 or over to vote absentee, which I guess means vote by mail, without having to give a reason, but the Virginia House squashed it.
Yeah, and that's not an option that everybody who is over 65 will want to take advantage of. Some people really like the civic ritual of participating with their fellow citizens at the polling place. Not everybody has good mail service in their neighborhood. Many pieces of mail do get lost, and so not everybody feels as secure with that kind of method. So it's one of multiple options that should be considered for the voting experience.
All right, listeners, you are on the President's new Bipartisan Voter Protection Commission. Commissioner Eric in Port Washington, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
So this is what I would love to see someday for our future voting. Hello, and welcome to Voter Phone. If you know the name of the candidate you'd like to vote for, press 1. To choose from a list of current candidates, press 2. Barack Obama, Mitt Romney, Jill Stein, Gary Johnson. Jill Stein. In a world of red and blue, there is another color that shines through. On Election Day, it's time to go green.
Eric, awesome. With even including your pitch for the Green Party candidate, Jill Stein, I figured that out. That was great, Eric. Thank you very much. Voter phone.
You know, just like internet voting, this is an option that currently we don't have the technology to do securely, and this is the kind of technology that we should be exploring going forward to provide more options for voters to conveniently and securely vote without hacking or other security problems.
So we're out of time. We have New York City Council Speaker Christine Quinn standing by. But the kinds of things, the breadth of things that our commissioners have been coming up with on the phone, is the President's Bipartisan Commission going to tackle it in this broader way, or are they going to be much more narrow about, you know, just making sure there are enough polling places, voting machines in each polling place, or enough polling places in a district, for that matter, to shrink the lines that we saw last year?
You know, we certainly hope that they're going to think boldly. They are not the only players. Again, we're not going to get the kinds of minimum standards that we need to ensure that our voting system works without ultimately Congress acting or the state legislatures changing their laws. So this is one piece of the puzzle. The commission should think boldly and recommend these kinds of changes, but we need Congress to act. We need the New York State Legislature to act, too, to implement some of these things before 2014. We don't want to go through another election with these problems again.
Wendy Weiser, Director of the Democracy Program at NYU's Brennan Center for Justice. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And listeners, keep posting. You are all deputized as commissioners on the President's Bipartisan Commission. Post your ideas to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Christine Quinn, next.